Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we got our good friend Julian Edelman in studio for what, an hour and a half, Hank? We did an hour and a half.
Basically.
We talked about all a championship Sunday, about an hour. All a championship Sunday, coaches hired.
It would have been an hour and a half if Julian was on time.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Mm-hmm. We left the whole Brady conversation in, it would be 2 hours.
Yeah. We did FaceTime Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's going to do.
Yes, get ready for that because we can't keep the FaceTime in because Jules never told him that we were actually recording. So we cut that because we're good people.
Two-party consent state.
Yeah, but we were in the same room as Tom Brady.
We were, technically,
in this show.
So we've had Tom Brady and Michael Jordan on the show.
Yes, on the show, and Larry David.
Yep.
So we're going to talk with Jules, just football, great stuff. I always love having him in. And then we will do some cleanup after Jules with the Broncos hire, maybe a little more Big Ben retiring, and then we will finish with Firefest. Before we get to all of that, though, whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Now in the street there is violence, and not a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing. And then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. Today is Friday, January 28th. And we have huge, huge coaching news. Jeff Fisher is back.
Let's go, Jeff.
Jeff Fisher's back.
Also, Michigan Panther.
Yes, USFL. Also, Julian Edelman is in studio. We're going to talk about everything, preview the games. Quick question for you, though, Jules, beforehand. If you had ever shown up to a practice or a meeting with Bill Belichick 45 minutes late, what would have happened?
I definitely would have got fined.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So what? We're how much money you got in your wallet right now? We'd like to fine you.
I don't have that much.
Oh, Cash App.
What do you got there? Is that Copenhagen?
This is gum.
Oh, it's gum.
One piece of gum.
Yes, yes.
I'll give you a piece in my lip.
I usually like to chew my gum in my lip.
Yeah
me too.
Right in my lip.
Spit it out.
So we're going to get to the games. We should talk about coaches first. The Bears got a new coach. Matt Eberflus.
Defensive guy.
So that was my question because I'm having to defend a guy I don't know anything about. And I'll be honest.
Colts, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Colts defensive
coordinator.
Where'd
he come from before there?
He was Colts. Before that, he was linebackers coach for the Cowboys. He is Maction Toledo.
He played at Toledo. He coached the Cowboys, their linebackers, and their defense for a while when they had some pretty good years.
Yeah, Sean Lee.
The Bears.
Mm-hmm. Made Sean Lee play well
when he was healthy.
When he was healthy, those few games a year. So my question to you, Jules, because I am defending myself, and I got to be honest, like I don't care who the Bears hire because I've completely flipped my opinion that organizations fail players and fail coaches. So this new regime of Matt and Ryan is probably going to be fired, which that is very funny that they just did that again. It's probably going to be fired in a few years anyway.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the Matt people and Ryan. Make a lot of jokes online. Tell me, Jules, does it matter that we have what hopefully is our franchise quarterback in Justin Fields and we just hired a defensive coordinator? I don't think it does.
Yeah, I was looking at that and I was a little conflicted.
Ooh.
You have a young quarterback, and we've seen with all these other teams when they're surrounding these guys with those quarterback whispers, whatever you want to call it, these offensive-minded coaches, we've seen a lot of success. And it's tough But then you look at it on the other side, the Chicago Bears, what do you think about when you think of the Chicago Bears?
Quarterbacks.
Yeah, running the football, playing defense, and never
85 Bears
passes.
Defense. You yes. think about defense. And they, I guess they're going to live up to that. They just want to have a defensive-minded coach. I personally would have went the opposite direction.
Okay, well, they tried doing that last time, though.
Really tried to do it last
Nagy
time.
He brought him to the playoffs 2 years.
He did. Yeah. He did. And, well, the speculation now is that they're going to hire Pep Hamilton as the offense coordinator because he's got a big history with Eberflus.
Yeah.
And Pep, I think, is like, he's a guy that his name has been tossed around constantly.
Where did he come from?
He was in Indy for a while with Andrew Luck.
Okay.
He was a DC Defenders head coach. He was my head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He cut me. He's been around. Like, he's universally respected in the NFL. So I feel like if you can get a good offensive coordinator in there, that's,
I mean, that's what you have to do.
Yes.
Counterpoint to what you just said, Sean McDermott and Brandon Staley. And you could say Brandon Staley, like, you know, maybe the offense, you know, didn't hit its heights this year with Justin Herbert. But those are two defensive guys that got hired with two young quarterbacks that you're trying to get the most out of. I loved.
I mean, McDermott, he's a great manager of men.
That's what I need.
What you think.
That's all I need.
But the reason they're having so much success, I think, is Daboll, Brian Daboll. This guy knows offensive football. I was around him for like 2 or 3 years when he was with the Pats, and he was an eager guy, and he loved just drawing up the craziest plays and doing what he's doing right now with Josh Allen. The problem with that is he's probably not going to be there next year, so like, it's tough to go defensive-minded coach because, say you're a defensive-minded coach, you bring in an awesome offensive coordinator, and then all of a sudden this guy does real well, then he's gone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, so why wouldn't you just keep the offensive-minded coach with the quarterback that you have for the next 15 years, hopefully?
Hopefully. So my counterpoint to that would be I would do anything for the Bears to have an offense so good that we're losing coaches. That's a problem I would love to have because that would mean they had some success. That would mean Justin Fields looks good. Like, you can't think, well, we might lose a guy, so this could be a problem down the road. Like, I want to have that problem. I want the Bears in 3 years to be like, man, their offensive coordinator is such a genius, he's going to go get a head coaching job.
I mean, maybe they're weaving in while other teams are wagging. I mean, you look at, like, the Packers, they're an offense you got to try to stop.
Well, you Minnesota. Can easily because Aaron Rodgers is a loser.
You said that. And then, you know, you have Minnesota, which is an explosive offense. We'll see what they're going to do next year with all the new change that they're going to have. So I don't know. That I scratched my head when I saw that hire.
That's fair. I think at the end of the day, it's like you just hope that he can hire the right guys for Justin Fields. My point more is that I think we overrate how much the head coach has to do with actual coaching of the quarterback, wouldn't you say? Like, the head coach, and obviously you're speaking from a different experience because Belichick's got his hands in everything, but I feel like the head coach doesn't have the time to sit there with the quarterback. You need a really good quarterback coach. You need a really good offensive coordinator.
That's not true.
Oh, okay, so
that's
I'm wrong.
That's not true, yeah. I mean,
I could be wrong.
Belichick used to have a three-hour meeting every Monday, on like right after the, you know, you get your weights in with the quarterbacks. And he would sit there and have his take on the quarterbacks from a defensive mind, offensive mind. Bill's every kind of mind. He's called plays on all three phases. So, like, it's different with him. So you're going to have that time to be able to put in. I mean, you look at Cliff Kingsbury. He's the head coach. But, I mean, they went to the playoffs this year. He's developing Kyler.
Did they?
Did they go to the playoffs?
They were like halfway there.
Do you remember them in the playoffs?
I'm not going to give the Cardinals credit for a playoff appearance. And like, he couldn't win in the Big 12 with Patrick Mahomes.
That
pick.
Offense is explosive. They went on they had like a 5-game stretch where they went and beat some really good football teams. I know it was early in the year.
Yeah.
And it's tough to like, but as an overall, we're talking about the Arizona Cardinals 3 years ago. I mean, they were nothing.
All right, so it's a bad hire by the Bears, you're saying?
I don't know if it's a bad. I just think I personally would go with an offensive-minded coach for that young quarterback in Justin Fields to get the – like, that's – they're going to be married.
I would have.
So however good this guy does, if Justin Fields doesn't do well – like, he's done. Justin Fields is going to be over.
I'll be honest.
I mean, this league is so crazy right now, especially with, like, there's no patience with owners anymore.
That's a fact.
Except for, like, two, The Steelers.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Just basically, if you want a job for life, either be Jeff Fisher or go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, and
I wanted Brian Daboll. So, like, I'm not saying...
Skee-ball?
I wanted him. Yeah, Daboll. What did we say?
Like a skee-ball.
We said he's a bowling ball?
Like a bowling ball.
Yeah. He's a big, D's nuts guy, right?
Yeah. Huge.
Like,
did he ever get you with a good D's nuts?
No.
We tried to get him.
But it was crazy when we cut that guy Willis. Do you guys remember him?
No. Who was his, that was his first name or second name?
His first name.
It was Willis.
Willis Cockfit in your... No.
Oh, fuck!
He used to do shit like that, too, all the time.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I wanted Brian Daboll. It is a little bit of a head-scratcher, but again, I think the Bears are going to screw up no matter what. So I was bleak to begin with. I'm at least going to give him a shot. Hope that it's he's a good manager of a team, manager of hiring smart people.
I mean, he got the job for a reason. He must have did well in the interview. Well, and
probably no one else wanted it. Dan Quinn was the only other one who wanted it.
Yeah.
That would have been sweet.
Do you think
that Dan Quinn would have stayed? If he gets a job being a head coach next year, he's got to keep the backwards hat.
Does he
want
to be a head coach?
That's his thing.
He does.
Yeah, I think he
wanted
does.
To be the Bears head coach. He was a finalist. I actually went this morning. I thought it was going to be Dan Quinn. I went and searched my Dan Quinn history. Let me tell you. I had probably about 55 tweets, motherfucking Dan Quinn. It would have been a great spin zone for me if he had become head coach of the Bears.
Yeah. You always wonder on that second run about these coaches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough one. I mean, ultimately, you're married to the quarterback. But if you look at all these coaches, I mean, it's the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league, especially with how the rules are predicated for the health of everyone, like the quarterback. Like, you're going to go as far as your quarterback goes.
Is that a real thing, though, to say that a lot of times these guys are better coaches the second time around? Because I feel like that's one of those examples that Belichick has screwed up for everybody else. It's like, because it happened to him.
Well, people don't realize.
Oh, well, you can hire a guy the second time, he might win 6 Super Bowls.
Well, people don't realize about Bill in Cleveland. It wasn't a failure.
No.
They went to the playoffs. They were the sexy pick to be... Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl the year that he got fired, they started off 4-0 or something, and then they announced in the middle of the night that they were leaving.
Yeah.
And I remember talking about it with Scotty O'Brien, and he said, we'd show up and there'd be people picketing and at the games, people were getting, the distractions were too big to overturn. So that's why he got fired. So you can't put him in that
it's
category.
You overcome your own fan base, actively wanting to arrest you when you get to work.
Your point is right, though, and I think you got to remember it whenever a guy gets hired. The coach is very important in football, but it's the players. It's the players. Like, Pete Carroll, second time around, obviously done well with the Seahawks. Why? Probably because of Russell Wilson. Like, Andy Reid going from Philly to Kansas City. Why?
Too.
Yeah, the defense, too. But I'm just saying,
way the team quarterbacks, was built. So it's a synergy between the head coach, the GM, it's everything. Everything has to come into the perfect alignment.
So that's where it's going to fail, for sure. But Zach Taylor, good coach, right? Why are the Bengals turning around like this? Joe Burrow. That's Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? So
everyone wants to cut his head off, before the season or last year after they went, 2-14?
Yeah, when Joe Burrow got hurt. But, all right, so...
What about you mentioned Cliff and Kyler and the Cardinals. I've got to take that might be wrong, but just from a body language perspective, something that I've noticed about Kyler in the last maybe 3 games of the regular season.
Careful, you're going to get blocked.
Going into, bring it on, Kyler. Kyler doesn't block anybody. And then in that playoff game, the body language from him, he never had any of his teammates ever around him on the sideline. I know that I'm sounding like Colin Coward because this is very much a take that he would have. But usually you would expect that if you have a star quarterback, the guy that runs your offense, the guy that essentially controls everything on the field, a game changer, he would have some friends around him occasionally on the sidelines. And he always looked like he was either bored or very sad to be at the games.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I think that does make a difference. And then I tried to back it up a little bit more and thought, remember he got hurt in that game against the Packers. He got a sprained ankle on that late scramble. And then he missed a couple games after that. Could you see a situation where his own teammates would be like, why isn't our quarterback trying to play on a sprained ankle? He's been out for 2 weeks already.
I wouldn't go that far, but with the body language, I definitely saw that was very standoffish. That's not what you want to see from your leader. And that could be because, I mean, Kyler's still a young guy. I mean, this is a new generation of player as well. you know, I don't know anything specific like how this guy is, but if I was an outside guy looking at that and seeing my quarterback in the most high pressure situation, kind of being over to himself, and he did have those, he had that like forever stare,
yeah,
a few times.
It's like it was, maybe he's upset that his teammates weren't like promoting his Twitch streams enough for when he's playing Warzone.
Face clan.
That's going around a lot.
I don't know about that, but these are the new distractions you're going to have to deal with the new player. It's going to be this Twitch streams, the social media, like, that's either going to, I mean, but then you look at a guy like Josh Allen. This guy spits leadership. Like, he's sweating it out of his face, how fired up he gets, how he goes and celebrates with his teammates. He doesn't do a, you know, his own little war dance. He's over, everything's about, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He spits leadership, like, and his coach is a manager of men.
Yeah.
I like that.
What, because we obviously saw it on Sunday, Tom Brady, that game.
Tough.
Them coming back.
Tough.
I kept on joking, like, Tom Brady does it again every time the Rams would fumble, because obviously that has nothing to do with Tom Brady. But I do think, and you can tell me exactly because you've been in that spot, he was probably going up and down the sideline when they're down 27-3, being like, we're okay. We're okay. Like, just next play.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's gotta, I mean, is that what he was doing when in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, he's a motivator when he has to be. It's different when you're Tom Brady, because Tom couldn't necessarily get on a kid or a younger player because he's Tom Brady and the guy's been, you know what I mean? So he knows how to do it in a different form or fashion, and that's a leadership quality in its own, how to get guys that need to be yelled at. All right, I got to yell at this guy. I got to, like, you know, you got to soften with this guy. Those are like,
you got to get a squeaky toy for Gronk.
whatever it takes, and that's what makes him. But that game was terrible for the Buccaneers because they didn't play the game the way they had to in order to go out and win. You know, you get in a 17 point hole.
Yeah,
they had to run the football. Tom Brady's throwing the ball 50 times without his favorite targets.
Yeah,
I mean, you're losing probably.
And your bet, you had Bucs-Patriots Super Bowl, that blew up in your face.
Yeah, it blew up right in my face, in and around.
Was that a situation where you were like secretly just a little bit rooting against the Bucs because you didn't want the 28-3 to be compared to the 27-3? Because then you get into the debate which comeback is better, and then you're like, wait, no, mine's the best. Like, was there a small amount of Jules that was like, please don't win this game?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, that's divisional round. We're talking Supi.
Yeah, that's true. That is Supi. Totally so different. Is Tom retiring? Did he talk to you?
I haven't. We just text a little, but like, he hasn't.
It's like, I'm done with
this. I haven't
this
even
shit.
Asked him. You know, it's one of those things right now, especially if you've been in the situation after, you know, a season, a loss like he had. You don't ask a guy. Like, he's just going to go do his own thing
Can you just tell him or ask him, don't retire this year, because then you have to go into the Hall of Fame at the same time as Ben Roethlisberger, and I wouldn't want Tom Brady's Hall of Fame enshrinement to be overshadowed by Big Ben.
Yeah.
I was just talking about that on the way in. I was like, man, if Tom were to retire, man, that would suck for Big Ben. It'd be another
and Rodgers.
This guy had a great career, but then outshined by...
Mm-hmm. You think, what, gun to your head, one more year?
With TB?
Yeah. I think he's got one more year, because, like, looking at the Bucs roster,
it's tough. They basically when you start go all back family.
In. Yeah,
that's
the
you
family's
know,
tough.
It's gonna have to be really good for him, probably. The team, how it's going, who's there, what coordinators are there. You know, he has to feel like he can go out and win it. But this is the most I've ever felt like he could probably hang him up. But
yeah,
you know what I mean. It wouldn't surprise me either way. It's, yeah. That's how he keeps his poker face pretty good.
Speaking of retirement, so Big Ben did retire today. Do you have any Big Ben memories of, like, going up against him in big games? Obviously, you play offense, he's offense. But we're going to miss him just from a comedy standpoint. He's just one in a billion when it comes to physical comedy.
I hope he shows up at his Hall of Fame induction ceremony in a neck brace. His bust should actually have a neck brace around it.
Yes. I think he still had one more year in that arm.
Of course.
Nah, he needed to.
He knew when to walk away.
To what?
Uh-huh. But I'll tell you right now, with Big Ben, man, I just remember anytime we were prepared for them, Belichick would always have these crazy cut-ups of like four or five guys around him, on him, and him slinging the ball out, and like Bill just like yelling at you, like, you think you got him, you don't. Like, it was just always the funniest when we had to play him, and he was a really good football player for a really good, for a very long time. It just, you know, it sucks that he had to play under the Peyton Manning and the Mannings. And
yeah, he got a couple, but yeah, you're right. It is weird.
But he doesn't get the shine he deserves, because Ben Roethlisberger for a long time was like, the crazy thing, he was never the best quarterback in the league, but he was in like the top three, or you could have been two one year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also think Ben's a good example of how getting drafted in the right situation can really help a guy.
Ecosystem.
The stability was big for Big Ben, because a lot of places that a guy like that would have been put into, you remember that first year, he was a rookie, and he had to start.
15 games
in a row.
He
didn't start the first game.
He was not going to start that season, and his whole team, was it Tommy Maddox? Was that the quarterback?
Yeah, I believe
Tommy
so.
Maddox got hurt, and then the whole team was like, yeah, this is obviously not the ideal situation to have a rookie coming in. They kind of gave him some tough love, but they just said, you're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. Then we're going to play awesome defense. The bus is going to put us on his wheels and just carry us to the Super Bowl.
You guys remember that commercial, the Irish Springs one? Was that the bus?
Troy Polamalu did the head and shoulders.
No, he did like an Irish Springs one where like he had a big bar. He was talking about a loofah. He's like, even strong men use loofahs.
I don't remember that one.
Or that could have been someone else.
I do wonder though. Like,
I know it was a huge running back.
What would have happened if Eli Manning had gone to the Chargers? Philip Rivers goes to the Giants, or goes to the Steelers, and Big Ben goes to the Giants.
Yeah.
How would history be different? I think that Philip Rivers, I don't want to say this in a way that like undermines Big Ben, but I do think that we don't give Philip Rivers as much credit as a quarterback as we should, because he played on such weird teams.
Yes,
that in a dysfunctional environment, where if he had been on a team like the Steelers, we would definitely put him on par with Big Ben.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Philip Rivers was always, to me, like, he was always just the competitive guy that was like banged. He was very much like Big Ben, always hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Banged up.
Played the NFC Championship with the torn ACL.
Torn ACL. But he always gave, I felt like he always threw interceptions.
He did.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, so
he did.
Like,
he took chances.
He took a lot of chances. Like, there was a span where Big Ben, like, didn't throw interceptions.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. And it's because of Big Ben. He was athletic. Big Ben was kind of like Josh Allen, not as fast back in his day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the part of Big Ben this year where it was weird to watch, because
his
actual arm, I think, still had strength. It was his feet.
Yeah.
His feet, like, you could see that he just didn't move the same way, and that kind of eroded everything else around him.
Yeah.
That one play where he falls over.
You could probably see it in his walk.
Yeah.
If you were behind him, like, you see the young guys, they're so ecstatic.
They got bounce.
They got, like, bounce. You can see, like, their hamstrings kick when they're walking. And then, like, you see older guys. And that's when I almost had to hang them up, is when I, like, you don't kick as well when you're walking.
Yeah.
You're up.
It's like every step,
your pop.
Every step you take, you're falling over forward, and your foot just catches up to catch you.
Yes.
When you walk.
Yes.
You're not, like, being proactive.
Relearn how
walking.
To walk.
What about the NFC Championship game this weekend? I know you're a big Niners fan. You love the Niners.
Bang, Niner gang.
You love Jimmy G. Is it
handsome?
Is it really tough to beat a team three times in the same season?
It's very hard,
but it's not statistically. I think it's proven that it's actually easier to beat.
I don't know,
because
it just seems tough.
It seems tough,
especially a divisional team.
Yeah, like, you say it.
I think it's like it's hard to win one game in the NFL.
Very.
It's tremendously difficult to beat a divisional opponent twice. But then I think it becomes easier the third time, because you've got their number. They know that you're a better team than they are.
Yeah, I don't think in my career we ever beat a team three times in a row.
Oh, we got to stat check that, Jake.
Yeah, because that sounded like one of those Belichick stats that's like teams that play against Bill Belichick three times in a season.
Yes, find that stat. Wait, I had
0-25.
I had one more retirement question. Go ahead.
Jets may have. I think they beat us in like 2000.
Jake will find it. Jake will find
it. Remember that? We
Sanchez,
blew the brakes
Bart
off
Scott.
Him.
Jake will find it. All right, I have one more retirement question, then we'll do a preview of both games fully. Bill Belichick.
What about the Niners?
No, yeah. We'll do both games. Break them both down. I'm going to do an ad before that. But Bill Belichick, do you think he'll coach forever? Forever's a long time. I had the thought when they got their ass kicked against the Bills and it was like 5 degrees. Is there a part of him that's like, why am I still doing this? I'm the best coach of all time.
No.
Okay.
He's not that. I don't think he thinks like that.
Okay. I think
it motivates him more.
That's where, like,
because he'll see things like that. Dude, just he like loves every bit of the process.
Yeah,
like he loves that. Like, well, he doesn't love that they lost, but turn the page, literally, probably like that next Tuesday on treadmill, looking at draft, looking at how we need to do this, self scout. Like, we got to look at our team. What do we got to do? He's thinking about all that right now. Now, it could have changed this past year. I wasn't in the bill. I don't know. But, like, from when I left, like, he had the same routine to the exact T every single year. Like, you didn't see any complacency kick in. I think he just honestly loves football to the point where he wants to go out there. And there are probably some underlying, like, competitive things with Tom. I bet you there is.
Yeah.
What's the vibe like in the locker room or just in the Patriots facility after a playoff loss? You go in.
Get your fucking garbage bags, pack your lockers up, and get the fuck out.
Like, are you expecting, is there like a somber mood?
See you next year.
Where you're in there and you know that some of the coaches are milling around and you're cleaning out your shit and you don't want to seem like you're too happy. You don't want to like joke around a lot. Because then people look at you sideways and you're like, oh, this guy isn't taking this seriously. Or is it just like another day at the office?
It's not another day at the office. It's very somber and very funeral-y. But like your position coach, you'll have like an exit meeting and you'll meet individually with your position coach and sometimes with the offensive coordinator. You know, you guys will vent to each other. Oh, we should have done that. You know, it's kind of like a farewell. It's
got to be weird. The one thing that we don't think about as fans, no matter what, it's never going to be the exact same locker room.
Never.
And that's got to be weird because we don't. You know, we think like, oh yeah, they might lose like one or two guys in a big locker room, but that changes how the entire locker room interacts.
Yes, that coaches leave. It's just that's like the last stamp of that team.
Right.
What's an exit interview like with your coach? Like, here's all the way.
It's literally a business meeting. Like, they'll go over, like, all right, yeah, like, say you were playing not well in, like, the back end. Like, you started the year out well. We need to work on, you know, you had a couple of things here. You're still drift on the end cut. You had that one interception. But I think you need to get into this. You need to get a little stronger. You need to probably get a little faster. Or we need to work on, you know, hands catches coming at the ball, like things like that. They would come at you and literally go game for game on things on what they're thinking about, what will make you a better player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that also, by the way, the Bill Belichick thought I had is just shows how different we're wired than like the greats, because I just watched that game and I was like, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'd just go fishing for the rest of my life.
And that's
because like that, I would just give up. I'd be like, I've done it. I'm good. But he's wired differently. That's the greats. Like, same as Tom Brady. Tom Brady's had many times where he could be like, I could ride off into the sunset, but he keeps coming back. I would just ride off in the sunset. Any amount of success, I'd be like, I'm done.
They're addicted to the game.
See ya.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be true.
Yeah. All right. Before we do the championship preview, Chevy Trucks. By now you know us as truck guys, not just any trucks. 2021 was a big year for Chevy Trucks. Silverado really made some news, and we're not just talking about Silverado and the Low Man Award or Coach Prime and all of what Dion's doing. We're talking product news. The Silverado ZR2, Chevy's new flagship off-road truck, was introduced in September, and in the spring you'll be able to see it at your Chevy dealer. And what's next for 2022? Well, just a couple days ago, Chevy revealed the first ever all-electric Silverado built from the ground up on the Ultium battery platform that brings with it new power, new flexibility, and, of course, a new range of what's possible in a truck. We've seen the Silverado EV, and it's really cool on the outside and on the inside. It's got all kinds of new features. Just a lot of firsts for an EV truck, so go. Head over right now, Chevy.com. Learn more and reserve your Silverado EV today. Chevy is the best. We are trucks guys. We are Chevy truck guys. The Chevy Silverado is the best in the business. Chevy.com. All right, Championship Sunday. Should we start Niners-Rams? Niners gang? Let's do that, because you know Jimmy G. How injured is Jimmy G? Can you text him right now and ask him?
He wouldn't. He doesn't respond to texts.
He's a FaceTime guy?
FaceTime him.
No,
perfect.
He doesn't, like, because we're represented by the same people.
Don Yee?
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Schefter?
Yeah. So, I mean.
That was an all-time tweet.
What did he say?
He was like, he said, let it be known that Jimmy G has improved his stock in both the offseason trade market and potential free agency while helping the San Francisco 49ers team to where it is today. They would not be where they are today without Jimmy Garoppolo.
Can you get
Don, fact,
can
they
you,
wouldn't.
Yeah, can you get Don Yee to throw out a tweet about Jules' media career?
Yeah.
Like, inside the NFL would not be where it is today without Julian Edelman.
Streaming on Paramount Plus. So what was the question?
FaceTime Jimmy G. How's
the wrist doing?
The thumb, the wrist, the shoulder?
It's a thumb, a wrist, and a shoulder. It's his entire right arm.
My theory is, and I've been going to bat for Jimmy. And yeah, he's got the thumb, but he's 3 weeks after the thumb. He's a week better than the shoulder. And when you have, as a player, like when you go out there and you see yourself do it when you're banged up, this, that, or the other, regardless, the next week's always going to be better. You're going to be more confident because you already did it. So I think he's going to have his best game this week. He's going to go out there. He's due for a good game.
Touchdown. He's due for a touchdown. For one touchdown.
Regardless, he's due for a touchdown. He throws picks. He has the doy-doy plays that we've all talked about and seen. But when the nuts have been on the line and they needed a drive at the end of these games, he's gone out and he's produced.
I got a question for you, though. Is Jimmy G a dog? I don't think he's a dog. I think Jimmy G's a cat. And you say you need dogs. You know what I'm saying?
Debo Samuel's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's a dog. Kittle's a dog.
Kittle's a dog.
Kittle's
Trent
a fucking
Williams is
junkyard
a
dog.
Goddamn dog.
Yeah.
He's a big bear.
Yeah.
Jimmy G, we're going to see if he's a dog this week. This week will determine his dogness. If he goes out and he plays his best game and he makes me sound like a fucking great analyst that I am right now, on Inside the NFL streaming on Paramount Plus, like, then he's a dog. I can't give him dog. You can't go out there and be a dog until
here's what's
your
gonna
ass
happen.
Is against the wall. People are hating on you, and you go out and you prove them wrong. That's when you're a dog.
Here's what's going to happen. My prediction, Jimmy G is going to play a perfectly average Jimmy G game. The 49ers are a better team in all phases, I think. They're a more complete football team.
I get scared with the secondary. I know since they put Armstead over on the left side with Bosa, they've been doing a lot of damage with those TE games and just stuffing the run. But, like, if the Niners, when they play man coverage, they get roasted. They're a zone team, and they get after the quarterback with four, but I think they're going to have to double Cooper Kupp. So I'm putting two guys on Cooper Kupp. And then I'm going to put help to OBJ. And then you're going to have to put like one of your best or your second best corner on Higbee or Jefferson and play that game. You're going to have to do something very creative and get after the quarterback with the four guys that they have on the defensive line, which they can do that. But if they do those, like, they can't just let Cooper Kupp. This guy is the leading in everything.
He's a beast.
And it seems like people haven't been covering him on third down. Like, I don't understand this.
I love Cooper Kupp.
He's a monster.
Underrated thing Cooper Kupp does, too, that, like, when you see it, you're like, holy shit, this works really well. When he catches the ball, he does, like, a little pitter-patter with his feet that always gets guys off. Yeah, just a little bit. It's not like he's not really juking. No. It's just like a reset that gets guys completely befuddled and gets those yards after catch.
He's trying to stop their feet.
Yeah.
Because once he stops their feet, then he's quicker to them.
And he can restart.
Yeah.
And he can make them turn their hips one way. Yeah,
I love that.
And
little
he run.
Shit.
He's very smooth in his route, so he can run with his body language, keep his body a certain way, and then like continue to run, and then get into his cut quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's
in the group chat, right?
Oh, he's the leader of the group
for
chat.
Sure.
The dog group chat.
He's a beast, but,
you know, he's the leader.
So back up a little bit, because you said that like you would double Cooper Kupp.
Got it.
And then you would give help to OBJ, and then you'd put your second best corner on maybe the tight end or the third receiver. When you say like give
or
help,
Jefferson.
Because I'm dumb, and so I always think like
so giving
you
help.
You should just double team all yes. their good players all
like
the time.
I'm double teaming.
Yeah,
even well, better. Your situation. So you have to disguise it. This is what Bill would always do. With like, you know, he would disguise on who he's going to double. You have to get Tyreek, and then you go to Kelce on situational plays, third down, because those are your two guys, and then play man on. Like, you put your fastest guy on Tyreek Hill. Then you put, you know, McCourty over the top, and they're always just playing in leverage together. One staying inside, one staying outside, so one can break, and they have the fastest guy on him and the other. Then we'd always put our best corner on, like, Kelce or the number two or who, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why most teams don't do that, because yeah. we'd always have our most success when and it's a game, because then you get into the quarterback trying to see who's getting doubled, who's not getting doubled, and then you surprise him with like a look where you blitz him, and then he's trying to see what's, and then, you know, then he's sacked or he's hit or he's opportunistically in a certain situation. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like those kind of plays, I haven't seen the defenses do that, and it could be because of their corners.
Well, the Niners, like, I do think they'll be able to get pressure with four, and that's, I mean, I think the Bucs' biggest problem was they were trying to blitz, and Stafford's pretty good against the blitz. Like, he's been playing lights out. And so if they, like, that's where the Niners' defense has an edge. I don't know why the Bucs blitzed as much as they did.
Try and get the ball out.
We saw
two situations come up. A team tried to blitz zero to get the ball out to keep him out of field goal range. And then we saw on the other side, we saw the Bills play like extreme prevent.
Right.
And let the team,
soft,
you know.
Soft, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like it's one or the other, and that's like the philosophies you got to deal with.
What if the Bills just never touched Kelce down when he caught the pass? Can you give yourself
yeah,
up
you
as a tight end?
Up.
Yeah, he gave himself up.
Yeah, he did, because he popped up and called a timeout. They should have done, Warren Sharp pointed out, they should have with the rules. And do you think Belichick would have known this? Do you think Belichick would have done this, or Vrabel? If they had just tackled every receiver at the line of scrimmage, it would have been, you don't put the time back on the clock. It's a 5-yard penalty. Do you think he would have done that?
They changed that rule, I'm pretty sure.
Did they change it?
Yeah.
Because I remember.
You can do it once.
Somebody sent me that as like their dad said that's how they would have won the game.
That is smart. And I remember Trump after that happened, Belichick, like, he put that in, like, at one point. I remember that in a practice or something. Like,
yeah, because Harbaugh did it one time in a game.
Yeah.
They were snapping it to their punter, and they tackled everybody. And that was the end of the game, and there was nothing. I think they changed it after Harbaugh
How,
did
what
it.
What would they have done?
They would have, well, it according to what Warren Sharp was saying, if you do it once, you can do it once, you can't do it twice. It's basically the time elapses until there's a sack or Patrick Mahomes throws the ball away. So if Patrick Mahomes realized what they were doing right away and he just threw the ball, like the play would have been over.
Okay.
And it would have gotten 5-yard penalty. But if he didn't realize it and it was just like running around trying to wait for someone to be open, time would have just elapsed and they would have.
I mean, we're looking at it after the fact.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering if a guy like Belichick had that ready to go.
It wouldn't surprise me. And it wouldn't surprise me going here forward after what just happened that there's not a specific situational meeting and scenario that they go off in in the offseason and they prepare for because of Patrick Mahomes with three timeouts in 13 seconds going out. Mm-hmm. They'll have meetings about that. I guarantee it.
It's insane that you have to do that. You have to say, here's our 13-second defense against Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
With the ball at his own 25-yard line.
After that miracle play in Miami, the Miami miracle where they beat us in the last play of the game because we had Gronk in.
Gronk was at safety.
We had so many extensive meetings about, they call it desperado-type plays. It's the last play.
Uh-huh.
Like, we'd have, you know, in practice, pre-game, or pre-practice, we'd have these walkthroughs. We'd have to go over and do, Like, they'll start practicing all that.
I do think they changed the rule because I'm seeing some of his replies.
Yeah.
That would have been great. They should have squipped.
Harbaugh did. Yeah. Harbaugh did it. And then, which is so funny because Harbaugh is the guy that would complain about other people trying to get their rules changed.
Yes. And I think they should have squibbed too. The only downside of the squib is if they somehow get hit, the guy hits a guy. And they get it on the 50.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, if you don't script it correctly. I mean? All right, so wait, back to... Sorry, Bills fans. That was probably triggering that we just went like right back into the worst moment.
It's going to be tough. Like,
it's going to hurt for a while.
Yeah.
It is.
No, it is.
That's going to be terrible.
I was saying on Wednesday's show that I rewatched the game on Monday, and I still, even though I knew it was going to happen, I couldn't believe what was going to happen. Yeah. That's how crazy it was.
And it, you know... It's going to be interesting to see, you know, the Bills next year with losing Leslie Frazier potentially. Daboll's probably gone. Like, it's hard to get, like...
Are we talking window already?
Oh, no, not Bills talking window.
Now we're really...
It sounds like you're talking window a little bit.
With the guy they have playing quarterback in Josh Allen, like, I think everything's going to be okay, but it's not going to be like, all right, we're back
there next...
It's not
the same. No. Yeah, that was this year where it felt like it was
but
the
McDermott's
same,
but... that kind of coach where I think he'll be all right.
Yeah. All right, so...
They've got good wide receivers, too, that are sticking around. Gabriel Davis, he showed up out of nowhere. Yeah. He's gonna come back and do big things.
So, Niners-Rams pick...
I'm going Niners.
Niners?
Yeah.
Plus 3.5, money line to win. Oh, I have a stat for everyone.
I'm going money line.
Okay. So in the 10 games in the playoffs this year, the winner, every single winner has also covered. Obviously, there's been some underdog outright, so that makes sense. But if you go back, 31 of the last 34 previous NFL playoff games, the winner of the game has covered. So you got to just pick winners. This is one of those situations where spreads don't matter. Just pick the winners. Who's going to win the game?
I'm going Niners.
That's what you got to say to yourself.
San Francisco 49ers, they're going to win. Jimmy G's going to have a good game. Kyle Shanahan is probably preaching to this guy every time he walks by him in the facility when he's in line for the eggs. Like, hey, Jimmy, just take care of the ball. Hey, buddy. Hey, just hand it off to Debo. Let our defense do some work. Hey, all we need is like a 3rd-and-7 completion a couple times in this game. Let's keep it manageable. Let's just like – that's what – they need to be doing, Jimmy.
He might have one mistake. Sean McVay will have an answer, I would hope, for the last 6 games that Kyle Shanahan has beat him. But the one thing the Niners do against the Rams, it feels like they always get guys open in the middle, which Jimmy is actually really good at those throws.
If you look at like the outside zone, I think they're like number 4 in the league at running the outside zone. Number 1 is the Rams, like running the outside zone.
Yes.
And play action off that outside zone, you leave that wide open because they're plugging, the linebackers are coming in, and they hit the middle of the field, which the Niners are like number 2 on that, and the Rams are number 1 on that. So they both play this whole play action game, and they're going to want to run the ball. And that's how you're going to have to beat the LA Rams, because if these defensive linemen have their ears pinned and they're ready and they know it's a pass play, like, they're going to probably get after you. Mm-hmm. That's how you tire them out. You make them go against the run every play. You don't abandon it. Sometimes the number of carries is better than the yardage you're actually getting because you're tiring out. Like, you think Aaron Donald likes being double-teamed every single play on a run play? On, like, a pass play, these guys are setting. On a run play, these two dudes are – it's 700 pounds coming at them every day.
Yeah.
All down.
Going for
it. Yeah, you got to tire them out.
And I think the difference between the offensive lines in the running game, they might run similar concepts, but watching it as somebody who's just like a football watcher, I don't know the X's and O's as well as a lot of people do, but just watching the games, I can tell that the Rams offensive line, when they're blocking, it looks like they're roping off areas. They're like roping stuff off.
Yeah.
And they're using a lot of arms and just trying to get in the way. When the 49ers are on those plays, it looks like car crashes.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like just hard, fast collisions over and over and over again. And that's I can absolutely see that taking a toll. Even if you're not getting, 3-4 yards a carry, if you're getting 1 yard, 2 yards a carry, like you said, to your point, that's going to beat the shit out of the Rams' defensive line eventually.
I mean, that's what you hope.
Go ahead. Sorry.
That's what you hope. And, when you got a guy like Trent Williams, that guy gets to the second level. Like on these, like if you watch good offensive lines, you can always tell on, like, especially with these zone teams, they'll have a double team, whether it's the guard and the center or the center and the tackle or the center or the guard and the tackle. You'll see them be able to control the guy And then when they can get to the second level while keeping a push on them, it creates so much space. That's where you get these crazy cutbacks, because then you got the overflow linebackers that are trying to get away from these guys in the second level. So that's something like that's what the Niners do. And that's what they do well, because that Trent Williams dude is a monster.
Kittle's an incredible blocker, too.
Alex Mack, the center, is really athletic. If you watch how athletic he is and how, like, the dude can do, like, the splits and stuff. Mm. Like, he can get to that second level. It's all about getting to the linebackers.
This is getting me so excited for the game. I fucking love watching the Niners play. Last question about this game. Cam Akers. Excuse me. Cam Akers, two fumbles.
Yeah.
Bad fumbles.
Horrible.
What is that? Like, what is the conversation? Is Sean McVay like, we can't trust him the same way?
You know what I think it is?
Yeah.
I think it's your endurance strength.
Mm.
So, like, this guy came back in 6 months from an Achilles. And I remember coming back from an ACL and, like, you can hit your speeds, but you can't hit them 5 times in a row, 10 times in a row like you did. Your body's not used to the endurance of the output of the game, just regular football. You can do the drills. You can do that. And it goes on a toll of this guy hasn't been going through ball security drills probably the whole year. Like when they're hitting the balls, the reminders. And you're probably a little weaker.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to catch up to him. You know, these last two games, he's looked unbelievable. But I'm telling you, that endurance strength where you feel that confidence and, like, your body feels strong from football, which he'll probably have a little more. But I was thinking that when I saw those fumbles, that, like, that's just the lack of playing.
Yeah.
The actual game.
Late in the game, are you actually thinking in a fourth quarter in an important situation where you really can't fumble? Are you thinking to yourself when you catch the ball, like, put that fucking ball away,
Jules? Yeah, you just cover. I mean, do what you practice. And that was something we did a lot in New England. We did ball security drills every day. Every day. Like, everything from they would just toss a ball out and you had to go and cover it, recover it a certain way and, you know, cradle it so the ball doesn't pop out from under you when you're on your stomach, or, like, you know, how to catch and tuck. And they'd have these, like, big-ass, like, boxing gloves with, like, poles on them, and you'd have coaches trying to hit them out. Like, everything, like, that was the number one thing that you heard. Nothing was more important than the ball security. Because
you would get benched if you fumbled.
Regardless. It makes it that much more important for guys. You know, in those specific situations, I remember specifically, like, when we were going in to score against Kansas City in 18 to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was just, you know, I already dinged a ball or didn't ding a ball. I fumbled a ball already. Like, so to remind myself, I would always just pre-snap before everyone. I'd be like, hey, oh, we just got a Rex ball security because, you know, hey,
that was
ball
the punt, security. The punt return.
Not the, no, the after the punt return, oh, got, shit. I fumbled the next play.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
yikes.
I just wonder, yeah, like, Cam Akers, does Sean McVay trust him? Because he's their best back. And does he trust him fully after two fumbles?
I guarantee he has a talk with them, and that coaching staff's absolutely thinking about that, because once there's blood in the water with Cam Akers blood in the water. Whenever there was a guy that fumbled, or if we fumbled, we'd have a 20-play cut-up of every play that this guy didn't have a fumble, but he was carrying out. This guy can hit it out. Like, the coaches, when there's blood in the water and you're giving these guys who already practice all these strip drills, punch drills, you know, lawnmower pulls, like, all these things, and they subconsciously are thinking about it going into the tackle, like, they're going to get it off you, so you better have it. You better have all points covered.
Shady McCoy's highlight reel, that must have been like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
But he didn't fumble.
He didn't fumble.
Yeah. Which is crazy. He was crazy. There was always blood in the water, but no body.
With a loaf of bread. All right, so Niners across the board. PFD, you have the Niners?
Yeah, I got the Niners too. This is also a good referendum on whether or not LA is a bad sports town.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like 70% Niners fans that are buying tickets for the game.
And
that's going to be fun to see.
And Stafford did say that the game they played in week whatever it was, 17, I want to say, he said that it was like part of the reason why they collapsed was they were basically playing an away game.
Yeah, we're officially putting the city of Los Angeles on bad sports town watch this weekend.
Anytime there's a rule that out of state, out of zip code, and it's the same state, but out of zip code can't buy tickets, they rescinded that rule. But as soon as that rule pops up, you're like, oh, that's bad.
They're fucked.
That's really bad. Hank, you got the Niners?
At the Rams.
You got the Rams.
Good. That's good though, because he, if we were like all
favorites. Jared's going like to hear favorites. This. He's going to be all pissed off.
He also doesn't like our friend Kittle.
I love Kittle. I love Jimmy.
Kittle.
I just got the Rams.
All right.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
AFC Championship game. It's crazy that the Chiefs are going to be hosting the AFC Championship game for the first time in football history, four straight years. Four straight years they're hosting the AFC Championship game. Yep. Andy Reid also, he's the first coach ever to go to four straight championship games with two different teams, which is nuts. Like, we obviously knew he was a Hall of Fame coach, but that's just crazy to think about. I don't know where we want to start. I
got one.
Okay.
Could it possibly be a letdown situation for the Chiefs coming off the emotional win? They won a game that was impossible for them to win. Oh. And there were so many points scored at the end. It just felt like something that I'm just trying to figure out ways that the Bengals could possibly win this game.
It could. It could.
I have a counterpoint to it.
But it's tough. Like, these guys have defied a lot of odds, and like even Kelsey said, which is the truth, you know, they're a targeted team. They're the measuring stick team now. So they're getting everyone's best every week. Every single week is every Super Bowl to every team who's playing against the Chiefs. And they had to deal with some of the rubble of that in the middle or the beginning part of the season where they weren't playing their best. They're playing their best football right now. It's going to be tough. But I'm going with the Bengals because I think they're a team of destiny.
Okay, so here's here's my counterpoint to the letdown. Destiny.
I like that. I like that, though.
And records are meant to be broke.
They are.
And Joe Burrow, this is the first number one pick to ever go to the AFC Championship or a championship game into his third or second year.
I also think the Bengals have never lost a championship game. I think they've only been to two, but they won both.
81 and 88.
Yeah, it's one of those stats that doesn't really matter.
81 and 88.
It's relevant. Yeah, like it's totally. The guys that wore the same uniforms 40 years ago did this.
When they get here, they win it. Yep. And then they lose in the
culture.
Super Bowl.
That's when
you know
think
they
Cincinnati.
Lost
to
the Super Bowl.
Yep. Niners.
Both of them.
Yep.
The drive, 93 yards. Joe Montana.
Joe Cool. The new Joe Cool.
Have
Joe
you been watching that doc on Peacock?
No.
It's actually pretty good.
What, Joe Montana?
Yeah.
I got to watch it.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. Here is my counterpoint really to the letdown spot.
It kind of gives you that history of Joe Gibbs. You see, like, the Giants were, it was Giants, it was the Redskins, it was the
you
90s.
You can say it. Redskins.
And also the Bears. The Bears were really good. Yep. So, like, that was a cool time of football.
Yes. My counterpoint to the letdown spot, I think the one saving grace for the Chiefs is that they just lost to the Bengals. Like, you can't overlook a team you just lost to.
No, but it's...
Don't you think that matters a little? Like, if they had not played this regular season, I actually agree with what PFT's saying. Like, there's a little bit of an emotional... It's obviously a huge game. It's a playoff game.
Well, I don't even know if it's possible to have a letdown game in the AFC Championship game.
Right, but you just played the game of, like, the best game ever. Right.
You know,
but now they played them. They lost that game. They killed them in the first half, and the Bengals came back and beat them, cost them the one seed. That has to be in their minds, does it not?
Yeah, it definitely is, and it could be for in a bad way for the Bengals because now they're not going to just be flying under the radar, which everything in my mind, my brain, like, and my eyes is telling me the Chiefs, but my heart, like, I don't know, man. I think Joe Burrow's cool. I think he's got, like, that swag factor, this new generation quarterback, like, he's got a lot riding on him, and the secondary for the Chiefs, like, they roasted him last time if they put him on one-on-ones on the outside with Jamar Chase, Higgins, and Boyd. Like, that's a good receiving core. And I just pray that they use Joe Mixon. Use Joe Mixon. This guy is really good football player.
Yeah.
They can't get in a hole. Because if you get in a hole, you abandon that run game. But all these explosive plays, and that's because you start putting people in the box to stop that big old running back.
Well, so I just looked up. Rashad Fenton, the best Chiefs cornerback, is back. So he fully participated in practice. He wasn't playing against the Bills. He didn't play in the first round either.
That's a big help.
Yeah. Matthew's going to play, who was out for the Bills game. Yeah. I wonder if, like, if you watch the Bills game, Stephon Diggs, they did a pretty good job of bottling up Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, but that's...
Unfortunately, Gabriel Davis then had, like, a game that no other wide receivers ever had. So you can maybe stop Jamar Chase, but you're basically saying, like, Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins are pretty damn good themselves.
Yeah, and that's... And you got to tip your hat to Gabriel. Like, that guy got an opportunity I guarantee they went into that week, and I could see Daboll saying this to, like, Diggs and bringing him in, like, hey, Diggs, you're going to be decoy this week. They're going to be doubling you. You're going to need all the coverage. Then in the other room, he's going to sit there and talk to Gabriel and be like, hey, you're going to have to win your one-on-one matchups. This is, you know, we're going to go, like, sometimes those coaches will put that fire on you.
Yeah.
And he did it, and that was unbelievable. So it's going to be interesting to see how if Chris Jones gets after Burrow, like, that could screw everything up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the D-line can get there, that's, I mean, we already, but it may not, because he was sacked 9 times last game, and the guy still looked like he had ice water in his veins coming, you know, when he had to. So it's going to be, everything in my mind is telling me and my brain is telling me, let's go. You know, you got to go with the Chiefs. I mean, Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're a really good football team. They're the best football team in the world.
They've been the best football team in football for like 4 years. It seems like at their best, nobody can beat them.
The only team, the only person who could beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead is his own teammate in D Fort.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's D-Fort, the only guy who's been able to beat him.
Offsides, baby.
Yeah, he was offsides is offsides. You can't giving that one back.
That's like the one of the only things I remember from that game. I don't remember games. Everyone was like, oh, I remember every single play. No, I don't remember blackout and shit. But I remember. I forgot who it was, but the safety or someone was coming up to me like, hey, man, you got a good year this year. Like, and I was like, damn, we just fucking lost. It's going to be worse offseason. And then we saw that fucking hanky, and I was like, oh.
Here we go. That's crazy, though. That's how good they've been.
I guess technically you did beat them in that game, but that would not be the Chiefs playing at their best, would it, if a guy lines up offsides?
Yeah.
I'm saying when they play at their best.
Yeah.
They've
played pretty damn good. They've been so consistent. They're a good football team.
It's also going to be tough because, I mean, the Bengals, how they got here, they've killed.
They defied all odds.
They defied all odds, but the other team has turned the ball over. Can you count on Patrick Mahomes to throw picks? I don't know. I mean, when he's playing as good as he's been playing in the last stretch, like, you know, there was that space in the beginning of the season where it's like, oh, no, Patrick Mahomes, he's turning the ball over.
You know, and that's the thing that's creeping in the back of Cincinnati Bengals' heads right now, saying, like, they are what they are. Yes, they played great last week. Yes, they played great the week before. But throughout the year, you usually are what you are. Now, there's been teams defy that, like the Giants and, you know, some of those old Patriots teams. But, like, you know, a lot of the times, those things, those nails that you didn't hammer in when you're doing the floors, you know, when you're redoing your floors, you stub your toe on that, like, 3 weeks down the road you forgot about that nail. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Those nails are still up. So we'll see. The Chiefs, they've been playing really good. I mean, they haven't turned the ball over. There was no turnover. That's what was number. That was really crazy to me in that Bills Chiefs game. There wasn't one turnover.
Yeah.
You know,
What about the Bengals early on in the game? Because I've noticed a lot of teams do this against the Chiefs. They get deep inside their own head, one way or the other, and they'll either refuse to kick a field goal and go for it on a fourth down.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Because they're like, well, we can't beat the Chiefs with field goals.
I hate that.
You hate it?
Hate that.
I do too, because I think that
cost the San Diego or the LA Chargers their season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just those kind of decisions. And I'm all about progression towards the league and the numbers but like there's a time and place, and like they lost 3 games because of those types of things.
All right, so you agree with us because we're pro analytics.
I'm pro points.
Pro analytics, pro going for it, but there's time and place where it's like, dude, take the three.
It's a win, like for the guys on the sideline.
That's my whole point.
You go out there and you don't get it, and then you know you're probably gonna go for it again, and then you get some guys that are they're keistering up. Like
that's all right. So I feel vindicated because that's been my whole point with like when you watch like Ole Miss football and Lane Kiffin, and they just keep on going for it. And obviously, I don't know their kicker situation, but at some point it has to demoralize. Like the guys, when it's like, oh man, we didn't get anything out of this again.
The defense,
yeah,
like the defense, like they get a little jolt if you get some points. All right,
especially because if you're Cincinnati, you have who I think is the second best kicker in football.
Kick Fearson.
He's a fucking monster. The guy doesn't miss ever since that.
I hope they don't jinx him here.
I've been jinxing for like the last month. I've said this guy is a great kicker. I love him. He had that one bad game against Green Bay. Where Mason Crosby was also having a bad game.
That was like a kicker.
Catch that from the other guy sometimes. Well, but I think he's good enough to the point where you want to use him as a weapon. You want to get him involved early and hope that it comes down to the end of the game. And he's got to make a big kick. And guess what? He's warmed up. He's made a few. He's got confidence at that point.
What about going across the minute they get across the 50-yard line, kicking a field goal even on first down? That way the other defense doesn't feel like they got to stop.
No.
Okay. All right. No. Just
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's like you never got us.
We're going
to
turn the ball over, but it's going to be on our turn.
Yeah, right. You never got us to fourth down.
Uh-huh.
We just got points.
Cross the 50 with an explosion play.
Oh, I love it. The old Bill Cowher.
You know, they just run the trick play.
The gadget.
Yeah.
Nah. Shot.
Shot.
Taking a shot.
Take a shot. Mm-hmm.
Take a shot.
I do love the over in this game. There is obviously a way that, like, if the Bengals are like, we're just going to try to hold the ball for as long as
Hendrickson.
Possible.
Hendrickson. He's got
to
have a big game. Hendrickson.
Yeah, but I just think that the Bengals, like...
I don't like that Ogunjobi's out.
Yeah, the Bengals are going to have explosive plays. They do. They just do. I'm taking the over.
Yeah.
I do have my teaser of the year. I think the Chiefs to... -1 and the Niners +9.5 teaser of the year. But I do think the Bengals are keep it close. I don't think it's like this is not a. They're not. They've proven that they should be here.
I think my heart is telling me to bet on the Bengals, and I'm going to listen to my heart this weekend.
But I know, head could be like, oh, fuck.
My head is out the door already. Yeah. My head's got its bags packed. It's going to the store for cigarettes and milk. Yeah. It'll be right back. My heart is pulling me so hard to the Bengals. I want this for Joe Burrow. And don't get me wrong, like, the Chiefs are a fun team to watch. I don't want to seem like I'm being the anti-Chiefs guy.
Nah, yeah.
Because they're a great football team, and we're all better people for getting to watch them play football. But I want the Bengals to win. I want it for the city of Cincinnati. I want it for Joe Burrow. It would be such a great story to see them in the Super Bowl.
Can I say something about that real quick? Chiefs fans have to realize and, like, change their personalities. You guys are the best team.
Yeah.
People are going to hate the best team. Like, Chiefs fans,
it's nothing personal, they're the most likable team to hate, though.
Right.
We still like them, but we hate them.
Patrick Mahomes is out of this world, so much fun to watch, an insanely likable guy. But, like, Chiefs fans have to realize when you are good every year and you go to the AFC Championship game every year, most of America wants change.
Oh,
it's why you guys got rooted against. Like, so I think Chiefs fans got to realize,
eight consecutive AFC championships.
They're not the plucky. Is that true?
Yeah.
Eight consecutive?
Yeah. See, that's annoying. Just hearing you say that is like, fuck you, dude.
But not four home games in a row.
Not four in a row.
Let somebody else have
it. Not four in a row, but you know.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's championship Chiefs fans have to realize that. What was it?
Yeah, but you still go eight in a row. It's still tough.
Eight in a row is very tough. I mean, Dave used to always just, like, laugh at us and be like, our football season starts at the AFC Championship game, and we're like, yeah, you're right.
For people like me and Big Cat, the Chicago Bears and the Washington football team, we don't play the same sport. It's a completely different game. If you were to, like, I don't even understand how it's possible for the team that you love and root for to go to eight consecutive championship games.
Yeah. Well, the Bulls in the 90s.
You know that. Joe Gibbs, he was a really good football coach for a long time.
He was, but there were some, like, off seasons in between then. We let the rest of the NFC Beast have a chance at it. The craziest thing about the Joe Gibbs era, which doesn't get talked about enough, is that he did it. He won three Super Bowls, three different quarterbacks, three different running backs.
That is crazy. That's nuts.
And then he went to NASCAR and got a couple championships.
Dominated there. Yeah.
This guy's just a manager. He's a leader.
Manager of men.
You have the Bengals.
Yep.
I'm going 1988 rematch. 88-81. San Francisco 49ers against the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's a great Bengals. Match. Great uniform matchup. Hank?
Bengals. Joey B.
Okay, yep. Joey B.
We all went Bengals?
Well, I ticked the over, and I'm teasing the Chiefs. So, I don't know. If I had to pick it straight, if I wasn't doing my teaser of the year, I'd take the Bengals.
See, that's
I think it's
going to
be a three-point game.
Then why are you putting in the teaser?
Yeah.
We all go Bengals.
There's like a 10% chance that the fucking Chiefs win by a billion. That is very much like there.
That's very much there too.
Right? Like that's, I don't think that the, yeah, maybe I should tease the Bengals. No, because then I feel like an idiot. And it's key numbers.
We're going to talk about key numbers. You're going to talk about this on Monday.
What's key numbers?
3, 4, and 7 we're going through.
It's dumb.
Whereas
as
the
hell.
Other one's going up through 10 and, you know, 13. Who cares?
It's very dumb to bet on the Bengals, but I'm going to do it anyways. That's where I'm at. So if you want to feel like you're dumb, then join us. But
I if you put a gun to my head, I think the Chiefs are going to win because I'm betting on them to win the game. I do think it's going to be closer. And there's always the backdoor cover if you take 7.
7.
I've talked myself into a tizzy. I'm just going to take the over.
I just want Joe Burrow to get to the Super Bowl. How sick would that be?
Teaser of the year off?
I just want to see if he has a cigar at the end of it.
Yeah. So I made
is there a teaser on that? If he wins, does he have a cigar on game field?
I made him promise that he has to do an interview with us the night after winning the Super Bowl. Just like we did down in New Orleans when they won the national championship. Do it the morning after. Everybody's still drunk. Run it back again.
Yes.
Have to.
I also just like saying teaser of the year, which I did lose last year.
See, I hope we don't jinx them.
We don't either. What are you saying?
I don't know if it's a jinx. It's just like we're being open in saying we just hope that he wins.
Yeah. I had one more question before you get out of here. Yeah. Big news story this week. Barry Bonds obviously didn't get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, ridiculous.
As a Bay Area guy, a steroid user, what do you think?
You're a cloud. But
I mean, I had to do that one.
What's up with my guy not getting in?
I agree. He should be in.
He's the best baseball player best before he was on the juice.
Of all time.
And he never got caught.
Never.
He was way smarter than you.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
Jules did not do steroids.
It wasn't. No. Yeah, it was HGH.
Yeah. Come on.
What are we talking about, guys?
What are we talking
Somebody
about?
Slipped something into your GNC.
Yeah. What are we talking about? It was a smoothie. You know? You ever had a bad smoothie?
Fucking allergy or something.
Yeah. Can you text Tom Brady? And let's figure out when OTAs start and see if he might like go on a trip with you right at the start of OTAs.
I'm going to text him right now.
Just be like, hey, I'm with Pardon My Take, guys. They're wondering if you're going to retire. No. Then it's on us, not on you.
No, I'm just going to say when the OTAs start.
Yes, yes.
Leave it open.
Leave it open. I love it. Is he actually doing it?
He is.
That's great.
Why don't you just try to FaceTime him real quick? Just like hit the button, FaceTime see what happens. Him.
He probably won't pick up.
Just see. Just we can cut happens. It. We'll
yeah,
cut
we're
it.
We're not even taping.
We'll cut it.
He ain't going to pick up.
This we'll guy, cut this it. Hank is freaking out right now. Hank is freaking out.
Did you watch Man in the Arena?
Yeah.
What happened in the last episode?
Yeah.
What's up?
What happened in the last episode? Hank's they haven't aired it yet. No, it got delayed.
Hank's got some theories that might be the retirement.
He'll get so mad at me if I do this, but like, let's see.
We can cut it if he gets mad.
This FaceTime call to Tom Brady is brought to you by Coors Light. As we speak, Julian Edelman is FaceTiming Tom Brady. Again, he was not informed that he was on a podcast. They were joking around. They were talking about potential future things. Really didn't get any actual inside information whatsoever. But we don't want to burn any bridges with the GOAT, so we are not including this part in the podcast. But it is brought to you by Coors Light. The mountains are blue. It is, you know what it is. When you're listening to the show, it's almost demon time.
It is.
That's right. 5 p.m. Friday, demon time. You know it when you see it. You know the mountains are ice cold when they're blue. What's up, Hank? Hank's loving.
I love young PFT.
Yeah, demon time.
So he's turning 28 this weekend.
I was telling Hank, I think in about 6 months, I'm going to start saying yeet. Ugh. I think that's when it's going to be at its peak cringe factor for me. So I'm gonna bring that out. I'm gonna be like, Bryce Harper just yeeted that ball over right field. But Coors Light is our favorite beer. You guys know that it's our favorite beer. We talk about it all the time. Billy was wearing a Coors Light shirt today. The mountains turned blue on that shirt too. Coors Light is the coldest beer in the world. It is the coldest tasting beer. It's the best tasting beer. If you ever feel like you're always on and you need a moment to chill, that's when it's time to grab a Coors Light. Because these days everything's go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. There's an expectation to be on 24/7, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off, hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. It is the official beer of Demon Time. I'm just going to say it right now. I don't know if I have the authority to say that or who I need to run that by.
Go follow @DemonTimeTweet on Twitter.
Thank you, Billy. Coors Light is the one that I choose when I need to unwind. It's the one I choose when it's DT. So when you want to hit reset, that's the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/take. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Now here is Julian Edelman's reaction to the Tom Brady FaceTime.
That was awesome. We're not going to do it.
I'm sweating right now.
Yeah.
He legitimately wants you back.
Yeah.
It's got to feel good to be wanted, right?
I mean, we probably...
You're buzzing right now. You got a glow about you.
I mean, that's Tom Brady.
You look like you just got...
I played with him for 11 years. Still Tom Brady. He was all tan and his face was all skinnied up. I mean, he's...
Oh, man. So, off season, we'll see you in L.A. anyway.
Yeah.
You going to be there?
Yeah.
Super Bowl? Soupy?
When are you guys getting in?
Sunday. So
yeah.
This Sunday?
No, the one before.
Me and Billy are driving out there. We're doing a little road trip. You want to come?
Wait, so I'm going Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Damn. They got you.
No, I kind of live out there, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. You got the you got to put that in your Twitter bio.
But you're
bi-coastal with the airplane.
We're doing our show out there.
Okay.
Inside NFL, so we're doing it on streaming on Paramount Plus. We're doing it on we're doing it on Sunday on at SoFi. So
oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll be good.
Well, Jules, thank you. You got to come by in the off season as well. Yeah, just because football season's over doesn't mean.
What other sports go on?
We can talk about whatever you want.
USFL.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher.
Is it back?
Jeff Fisher is coaching the Michigan Panthers.
So how are they getting this thing back?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It's probably going to last for 3 weeks.
Whatever week they're playing the season that's not March Madness, I'll tune in for like an hour and then be like, okay, that was fun.
I'm waiting for the XFL to return again.
Yeah.
That's my
spring league.
Yeah. The Rock's doing it.
Yeah. So maybe you come back as a coach.
No.
And you bring PFT on.
I'll never coach.
Yeah.
You never coach.
No, bro.
Why not?
They have no lives. No lives.
You could be the first. You could change how it's done.
Yeah.
Steve Spurrier
in my head, I already know how it's done at the highest level. It would kill me. I wouldn't be able to do it.
This sounds like the start of you becoming a very successful coach later. And you're like, I swore I never wanted to coach. Yeah. It wasn't something that ever interested me.
If I'm coaching, we got some problems, guys.
Okay. Money problems.
Yeah, you need a paycheck. You're going to be the first coach to be doing general commercials in between your own commercial breaks.
We got problems. All right, Jules, thank you as always. Always the best.
All right, guys.
Good luck on your picks.
Good luck on your picks.
Julian Edelman was brought to you by Wood. Introducing Wood, it's a new men's grooming line offering products across hair, body, beard, and shave. We love Wood here in the office. They dropped off a bunch of stuff. I've got all Wood accessories in my bathroom right now. Wood is it's a series of products for you to look your best, smell your best, and feel your best. Now all you have to do is go live your best. Wood smells as good as it looks. They've got different scents. Golden Hour, Summer House, Fresh Tracks. They all smell great. It's awesome to go into your bathroom and have every single product that you use be from the same company. The same scent gives you a sense of completeness. They have shampoo and conditioner. They've got body wash, deodorant. They've got moisturizers, deodorant. Again, body wash, face wash, scrub, beard conditioners, oil, shave creams. Best of all their products are $15 or less. So you can have your bathroom looking great. You can have yourself looking great, and you won't break the bank for it. You can shop Wood at getwood.com. That's GETWOULD. Get Wood, as in I would purchase Wood. Getwood.com or at your local CVS.
Okay, let's wrap up. We've got Firefest, but we'll also do a couple things we missed. We just talked about Tom Brady, but he had a very nice note to Big Ben. He said, Ben defied the TB12 method in favor of throw some ice on it method his whole career and ended up an all-time great with 6 Pro Bowls and 2 Super Bowls. There's more than one way to bake a cake. Basically, Big Ben is fat, but he still was good.
Big Ben, he was injured a lot, but he just pretended that he wasn't injured for a long time. And listen, Tom Brady, if Tom Brady thinks that you're good, I think you're good.
Yes, yes. I really wish... I know Big Ben is done, but like, I was kind of hoping that he was just going to go through the same thing in the offseason and be like, wait, I got one more year in me.
Yeah.
So it did hurt when we saw that he was official. I still don't think it's official until we see the Steelers. The Steelers have to go through one injury at quarterback in the next 2 years for me to officially retire Big Ben.
Yeah, I just think that it's good that Big Ben is doing this the right way and he's choosing to walk away from the game 1 year too early instead of 1 year too late.
Yes.
That's always how you want to see somebody go out. He made the playoffs this year.
He did. He went out. They were up 7-0. Shout out Derek Watt. So that happened. Also, the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett, who from the Green Bay Packers, to be their new head coach.
They're coming on a little bit strong for Aaron Rodgers.
So I got a quote for you. I want to just read out loud. You guys can tell me what you think. So he said about Nathaniel Hackett, this was last year, Nobody in the building brings me more joy or is more fun. I hope he doesn't go anywhere unless I do.
Ooh.
That was from last year.
It seems too on the nose, right?
Devontae and Aaron Rodgers to the... Now, I hope it happens because I would love to see Aaron Rodgers in the Broncos. He'd be an idiot to do that. You're basically going into the hardest... Like, the NFC North is a very easy division when you stack up the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings. Now you're going to the AFC West where you got to play Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Derek Carr. That doesn't seem very smart, but maybe that's the move.
That was very nice of you to include Derek Carr.
I did. I threw him in there. He could be good sometimes. That was cool of
you. I think if you're a fan of football, you should be rooting for this, though.
Yeah.
Because you get to see two shootouts a year against Patrick Mahomes. You get to see Aaron Rodgers playing in that altitude. That would be objectively fun to watch as a football fan. I also just am a fan of narratives in general, and I love the building narrative that the Broncos will never have a good young quarterback,
yes.
But it's the place to go at the very end of your career if you need like one last dance. You just sign up for 2 years with the Denver Broncos, hopefully win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, John Elway being like, we suck at finding quarterbacks except if they're 40 years old.
Yeah.
So and when they've done 20 years in the NFL and we can really judge their body of work, then we feel comfortable going all in with them.
Yeah, that's what they should do. They should trade their first round picks every year, not even bother drafting a quarterback, and just have a couple years in between having elite Hall of Fame quarterbacks that come to play for them, and then use that time to build up the rest of their roster and just have some schmuck that they bring in to play quarterback for a couple years, hopefully go 500.
Just constantly stay a quarterback away.
Yep, exactly.
If you're always a quarterback away, you can woo that quarterback. And let's just get this on the record right now. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Broncos, I hope he wins 3 Super Bowls with them. It would be incredible because then that just sticks it to the Packers even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he won 2 Super Bowls with the Packers,
I think he has
to
go,
with the Broncos,
he's got to go into the Hall of Fame as a Bronco.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, you had your most success in a very short period of time. Like obviously, time is catching up to Tom Brady, but like imagine if Tom Brady had won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots and then he went to the Bucs and won 4, that would kill you.
You know who else?
Well, yeah, he won 6 with the Patriots.
No, okay. Forget it.
Yes, it would kill me.
It would kill you. It would kill Packers fans. If your franchise best quarterback, I don't know. You want to throw that? The Favre, have we done the Favre versus Rodgers numbers? Bart Starr?
I think it's Rodgers, right?
Numbers-wise? Favre won, what, 3 MVPs in a row?
Now, what if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Broncos for a couple years and then goes to the Vikings?
That would be cool. Or the Bears. That would be so funny if he went to the Bears. But he would probably just choke because he's a loser.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even hate him anymore. He's just a loser.
Would you even root for him on the Bears? I don't think that you would.
No, any success that Rodgers has away from the Packers, I think is awesome.
Because
that would be very funny. Yeah, so we'll see. They are going on a little strong, though.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel...
For sure. It feels like this is... If I'm Aaron Rodgers... It's almost like I prefer a situation. You treat me like dirt, I stick to you like mud.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it's been for him in Green Bay for a while. Is he really going to be truly happy in a relationship that's symbiotic?
Now, we did also, though, have some inside sources. Inside sources revealed that Shailene Woodley got an apartment in Pittsburgh, PA, and a chef has been, a private chef has been working for her. This source is Jersey Jerry. He knows the chef.
Was that from the Instagram account that he follows?
Probably.
About Steelers facts?
And then someone pointed out, like, I'm pretty sure that Aaron Rodgers and Shailene might not be together anymore. He's like, oh.
Well, they don't.
Well, that's not good.
They don't like to use, the box themselves in type of nomenclature that a lot of people do in terms of are you married, are you dating. They're just two people experiencing life together.
Right, and I don't think they like living in the same city, so if she moves to Pittsburgh, it's basically a guarantee that he won't go to the Steelers.
That's a pretty hilarious marriage. It's taking the whole, we're going to sleep in separate bedrooms to a whole new level. It's like, we're just going to be in different cities. That way, we're all always excited to see each other.
Yeah. Long distance on purpose. So, man, I would love him to go to the Broncos. Just because it would be fun, too. Here's the only thing I was thinking. Like, Aaron Rodgers, if he goes to the Broncos, he does get to have these primetime duels with Patrick Mahomes twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, like, if he starts beating Patrick Mahomes' brains in, kind of reconfigures his legacy.
He has to be regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yes. So maybe he's up for the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Anything else? Anything else that we missed? Oh, go listen to Dan Hurley. Good job, Jake.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm just happy for you, Jake.
What did I do?
No, I'm just happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Listen to him where?
Oh, on Benchmark Podcast. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have Dan Hurley on this show.
Yes.
Once we get to March Madness time.
Awesome guy.
Yes.
Oh, I've got one more Cincinnati fact.
Yes.
So, Cincinnati fact. In Cincinnati, they have a statue of a wolf that's breastfeeding people. That was given to them by Benito Mussolini.
Badass. That's really
except
badass.
For the Mussolini part, which I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's also kind not cool.
Not cool. Yeah, that feels like that might get taken wolf. Down. Yeah. If they go to the Super Bowl,
tear down the fascist wolf and put Joe Burrow in its place.
Yes, yes.
Which would also be a great name for a donkey, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, very good name.
Yeah,
like Eeyore's friend. This is college friend Joe Burrow.
This is Joe Burrow. Yeah,
Eeyore, yeah. Embrace the last weekend where we have more than one football game. Mm-hmm. Embrace it. Embrace it.
Oh, also, U.S. soccer playing against El Salvador tonight in World Cup qualifying. What's your prediction?
We win.
Don't care.
Or lose.
2-1. You should care, Hank.
I hope we lose.
You should care.
Stop talking about it.
Pepe playing?
Why do you, El Tren, he's playing. Awesome. Probably.
We don't even make the World Cup.
Yes, if we win tonight, we probably will make the World Cup.
Oh, probably?
You've been saying that for like 2 years.
This is how the
every game is like
a shame if we lost.
Yeah. If we lose, are we out?
You guys are disgusting.
Wait, if we lose, are we out?
No, I just think it's funny.
You guys hate the United States.
I hate soccer.
I'll watch the World Cup.
I wish we were good at soccer. We're not, and I'm not going to pretend like soccer matters in this country when it doesn't.
We are good now.
Fair takes by Hank. Completely fair takes. I wish we were good, too. If we were good, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
If we're beating everyone else's.
I just don't believe that we will win. It's that simple.
That's sad. Ever. That's sad. You guys.
Unless LeBron starts playing soccer.
No, Russell Westbrook actually would be a great soccer player.
Yeah, he would.
The goal is 24 feet wide.
Yes.
Can't miss that.
Giannis?
We'd play for...
No. He's American. He plays in America.
He'd be an awesome goalie.
Yeah. Giannis, Luka, all these guys would be incredible. and for the U.S. men's team. All right, let's do Firefest. Henry, Firefest of the week.
So yesterday, me and Mr. Commenter were sitting in here having a casual conversation, and I think he was getting ready to record a short episode of Macrodosing, and he started the conversation saying...
Actually, nanodosing on Thursdays, it's a short episode.
Yes, exactly. He's like, we got to keep the nanodosings shorter. And I was like, oh, how long have they been going? And he was like, oh, they've been going long, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I personally like the shorter episodes because my commute's like 30 minutes. So I don't usually listen to podcasts, but when I do, I like the shorter ones because I don't listen to... You know, I'm not going to listen to a two-hour podcast over the course of five commutes. I'd rather just listen to one podcast beginning to end. Then, on the nanodose, I don't know what PFT said, but I've just been getting destroyed by the dosians being like, fuck you, Hank. Stop making macrodosing shorter. Like, you've destroyed macrodosing. And I don't even really know what I did.
No, so on our normal Tuesday shows...
PFT is sewering me.
No,
sewering my good name.
On our normal Tuesday shows, they go like in between 2.5 and 4 hours, typically. And then on Thursdays, we wanted to do something that was like 20, 30 minutes, get in, get out. And they've been creeping longer because Coley's on the show, and any podcast that Coley's on typically lasts about like 3.5 hours minimum. So I merely said, I paid you an extreme compliment. I said,
Sounds like you didn't.
I said, we have...
My mentions disagree.
One of the greatest podcast listeners of all time, Hank Lockwood, had a suggestion to keep it shorter for those of you with shorter commutes. But I can't...
I didn't even say that.
I can't control what they say. They've got a mind of their own. Hey, free thinkers.
There's only one thing you can do.
What?
Come on and talk about Taco Bell.
Okay.
Redeem yourself.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
We'll do a Taco Bell fast food episode, and Hank will be on there, giving all the dirt about
a nano or a monster?
Your call. Dealer's choice.
Nano.
Okay. Hour and a half.
I'll do whatever.
10 minutes.
Yeah, whatever you want. Whatever you want, PFT.
All right, PFT, what's your Firefest?
My Firefest actually just came across the wire about 30 minutes ago. My favorite band of all time, the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, just broke up.
Oh, damn.
Which is sad. So I've been a big fan for about 25 years now, which is a long time to be a fan of any band. They were like the band of my teenage years. You know how when you're in your teens, that's when you can truly get obsessed with something and find something, whether it's music, art, whatever it is, that puts you on a different direction in life. And for me, that band was the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. And RG3's got to be broken up right now, too.
Damn.
As a huge ska fan. But yeah, they're riding off into the sunset, skanking off into the sunset. We'll miss you guys. And
they'll probably get back together.
I don't know. They're like 55.
Yeah. I mean,
reunion show?
Yeah, every band. They're done for 5 years, and they're like, hey, let's go cash a paycheck.
I hope so. I hope so. They were a great band, and I will always love you, Boston's.
There you go. Were they still making new music?
Yeah, they put out an album last year that was pretty good, I thought.
Okay.
So, it's tough. It's tough. That's like, you know, when Hank was talking about the day that Belichick will retire, he'll be broken up about it.
How many Super Bowls did the Boston's win?
Well, they're Patriots fans, so as many as Hank.
Six, yeah. All right, my Firefest is, I don't know if you guys are into college transfer as much as I am for college football, but I have fully bought into the fact that Caleb Williams might be a Wisconsin Badger, and it makes no sense. And his choices are between Wisconsin, LSU, and USC.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why we're even in the conversation.
Well, it's because you guys are like the Denver Broncos of college football with Russell Wilson coming in.
Yes.
And competing. Now, well, you get another guy that's coming in just to win a title and leave.
Listen, I've gotten very deep. One of his high school teammates is on the Badgers. Also, the Badgers might hire his high school coach to be the OC. Also, there's thoughts that maybe he wants to play under center so that he can show that he can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it may be, I'm not ashamed to say that I slid into his DMs and I was like, hey, dude, Madison would be pretty sick. I also have done the calculations and I am willing to drop a bag, a hefty size bag. So I don't know how to do that, but I will do
it. How many game of the years would go into this bag?
Well, so I was actually thinking about it. Tell me if you guys think this is crazy. If you could actually guarantee, 100% guarantee, like obviously you can't, but guarantee that the Wisconsin Badgers would win a national title in the next 2 years with Caleb Williams, I think I would pay like $2 million for that.
What?
I would.
You are insane.
I would be, because I would be able to drop like my nuts on everyone for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you'd have to start
mortgage everything.
You'd have to start a 3.5-hour podcast and then do about 5 episodes.
Yeah,
of that, and then you'd be made whole. It would be worth it. So if you paid him that much money to go there, the amount of money that you would win back by betting on him
that
for the next year, I think might cover it.
I'm also just talking about like Wisconsin's never going to win anything in college football or college basketball. But if you guaranteed it, and then I could just say it to everyone whenever someone's like, they suck, and I would be able to, you know, that ride would be incredible.
Can you do that? What are the legal implications of saying, hypothetically, I'll pay you $2 million for an NIL deal to Wisconsin, and all you have to do is, like, advertise a Caleb Williams shirt that we sell here?
But that's the difference, though. I would not pay him that if we live in the real world where games are up to chance.
Yeah.
It would just have to be, like, guaranteed. This is what I'd pay for happiness for the rest of my life, and have that chip in the back of my pocket being like, hey. I mean, it's a stupid amount of money. It would be very, very dumb. My kids won't go to college, but I'll have that championship.
There's also the likelihood that he gets to Wisconsin, and then given the offense that they run, he doesn't really do much.
Well, no, because, I mean, Russell Wilson did a lot at Wisconsin. Like, they ran a completely different offense.
Yeah.
And that was Paul Christ as the offensive coordinator.
Now, could a team just straight up be like, hey, Caleb, come to our school. We'll hire your dad.
Yeah,
that's
college basketball.
Yeah, we'll hire your dad to be like assistant strength and conditioning coach. All he has to do is make the smoothies.
Yeah, why not? I don't know how we're even in this conversation, but we apparently are. It's one of those things where there's enough smoke that there's got to be a little bit of fire, and I've sold myself on it, and I've sold myself on him coming. He was the number one recruit in all football. It's like, yeah. It makes no sense.
I don't know if I trust a guy named Caleb to be a college football quarterback.
Sounds what about like director of morale?
More like a golfer's name.
Yeah. Professional golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Man. We got to figure out NIL, though. I would just give him like $5,000 for free.
Speaking of professional golfers, Brooks Koepka dyed his hair blonde.
Yes.
We didn't talk about that at all. So he looks great, I thought.
What?
Anyone else?
What do you got?
I thought he looked awesome.
Yeah, looks great.
I think he looks great.
Very good.
Billy?
Slim Blakey.
It's actually off-white, if you know fashion, bro.
Oh, word.
yeah, it's true. Blondes have more fun. Also, Max did well. Max beat him in the first day.
Mm-hmm. Did Max get to use a cart?
Right now, Max is 3 under, and that's the cut. Brooks is actually even.
Whoa. Well, it's not a major. What was that alarm?
That was my alarm to remind myself to put the Wisconsin game on.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
I did it beforehand.
Yeah. My little Gary just running around with alarms.
Yeah, 5 minutes before tip.
It's a look.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's a Masters look. I think he's got to go back.
So he's going to have frosted tips
by
the Masters.
It is a San Diego look.
Yeah. It's going to grow out over the next couple months to the point where...
Well, he can dye it back.
Yeah, but it would be sick. I think that he's dyeing it right now so that he can have frosted tips during the Masters.
That would be great. When is the Masters, though? I haven't seen any commercials.
No, they haven't had them yet. Okay. I think this weekend is going to be the first one.
There are some people still falling for it.
Yeah. Been like first Masters commercial.
Been there.
Yeah. Jake, why don't you go with your Fyre Fest? We'll wrap up with Billy's.
Yeah, my Fyre Fest of the week is I was in Vermont this past weekend calling a game. I was staying with one of my friends who used to be on the team, still lives up there, waiting for my bag at the airport. He texts me, "You're cool with dogs, right?"
Oh, no.
So I'm like, "What kind of dog?" And he's like, "Boxer." And I Google it, and it's like, "It's not hypoallergenic, it sheds." He's like, "All right, I'll just give it to my brother to watch, who also lives up there for the weekend."
Whoa, that was nice of him.
Very nice.
But you still
him.
Sneezed a lot.
It was okay. I loaded, not loaded up, but I took Zyrtec responsibly.
Wait,
but.
So you did that? You did that game on PEDs?
On allergy pills?
Yeah. I noticed that there was a little pep in your stuff there. Points, hey. Points, and more points. Whoa. Do you think that call happens without being all hopped up on antihistamines?
I don't know, but. Survived.
That's brutal.
So,
I mean,
yeah,
that's
the tough one.
That's a war story.
Yeah, glad his brother is up there on the team. Yeah,
I got a question, Jake. Do you like dogs?
Yeah,
bro.
My mom has a hypoallergenic little puppy. Doesn't shed. Mm. Yeah,
sounds like you really love
that
dog.
I just have some incidents.
Not your family's dog.
Oh, you've been bit by a dog?
I've been bit by a dog.
I've been bit by a few dogs.
Yeah. And I've just had bad allergy history that I'm just like kind of scarred. But
dogs, bro.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm coming around on that.
Dog, you don't deserve
Jake.
Dogs.
Yeah.
That's not an insult. So bad. No, it's not an insult. We don't. Like, no one deserves dogs.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll work on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to. It's like the dogs literally like kill you.
How would you work on that?
Could you die from a dog?
Is there an EpiPen for dogs? No. Allergies?
You let me finish. Like, what if the dog bit you in the throat?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could die from a dog.
We'll see.
I had a friend that was very allergic to shrimp, but once a year he would just bite the bullet and eat a shrimp because he loved it so much and just jab himself up with his pen.
That's fun.
Would you be willing to? I would do that if I was allergic, just to hang out with a dog
it's
for
just
an
like,
afternoon.
It's not going to kill me. It's just like I'm going to sneeze. My nose is going to run. I'm going to wheeze. It's like not enjoyable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Might as well, all right. Yeah. Keep dogs away. Billy.
Once again, I ate the internet trash, made a mistake. Yeah, no, it happens a lot.
What?
Yeah, the junkyard we call the internet, I sift through every day and didn't get a gem this time. Turns out Neil Young is really amazing with his kids and have donated to a lot of causes for...
Oh, no.
So
when you claim that Neil Young has a bunch of kids and doesn't take care of them, it was just... Where did that come from?
Let's find the source.
I can tell you.
Has
exactly
he been beefing with anyone
from.
Recently?
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who?
Yeah. I know Billy's brain. I know how Billy's like internet.
I googled it right
works.
After the show.
Who would be saying negative stuff about Neil Young? He's a great musician.
Guys out there who don't do research. Don't do enough research.
Oh, so you're saying Joe Rogan? Joe Rogan listeners are dumb?
No,
other people.
No.
They're uneducated?
No. I'm just saying that there's a lot of
this
stuff.
This is good.
Out there.
Actually, Billy.
At one point, there was a little questions, but he has really done a lot.
Got it. So there
years.
Was at once. So you're not actually admitting that you were wrong.
No,
other people were wrong. Big Cat.
And at one point there was this question, like he forgot to get his kid a birthday present.
So here's how it works. When Billy was doing his research, I guarantee you this is what happened. He saw that some people were mad at Neil Young after Neil Young said, "I'm not gonna." It told Spotify it's either Joe Rogan or me.
People got mad at you too, PFT.
For what?
Neil Young. Your Neil Young hate.
Oh, that. Well, I just personally, I don't have
a
problem
like
with him.
Neil Young.
He's got a couple good songs.
I'm
just saying, like, if it's going to come down to Neil Young or Joe Rogan. I can tell you that every single time Joe Rogan's going to win that battle on Spotify. But Billy saw the news that was coming out about Neil Young and then read some replies to some tweets. And in those replies, it was Joe Rogan fans that did like one Google search, found a headline from maybe like 20 years ago and was like, "Here's why Neil Young's actually bad." Then that got passed around a lot. And then Billy saw that. And then Billy's like, "Actually, here's the truth that I found."
This is good.
That's how the internet works.
This is Billy is a scared straight for like our society. Like, don't, you know, always don't believe the first thing you read all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard, because, like, reading the second thing, like, who wants to do that?
Well, sometimes the third and fourth thing is what gets you in trouble.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first.
Well, because you did a Google search, Neil Young scumbag dad. And then you know where you find
the real truth is when you click the show hidden replies tab on Twitter. That's when you get the real information.
Fire.
Yeah. And if it's just a screenshot that's posted, that's how you know it's really true.
Exactly. Yeah, just navigating the internet day by day.
All right. That's the show. We'll see everyone Sunday. We got
happy early birthday to both of you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Jake.
Yeah.
Thanks for remembering, Jake.
Yes, Jake. We'll see everyone Sunday. Enjoy the last weekend of multiple football games. Embrace it. Love it. Numbers?
17.
8.
22.
6. 17. 6. No, actually 55. 44. That's what we need to hit the over for the Bengals.
Jeez. All 100 numbers are in the machine.
Love it. 55. 13.
Love you guys.
Chinchillas take dust baths.
Person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.